Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lanna for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. I love a really great story. Actually, I love all sorts of stories. And lately, I've been sort of Googling success stories on the internet and seeing what I came up with. So I came across the elephant rope story. So if you haven't heard it, I'll share it with you right now. As a man was passing the elephant, he suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that there was a huge creature being held by a small rope tied to their front leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious the elephant could at any time break away from the bonds, but for some reason they did not. He saw the trainer nearby and asked why these animals just stood there and made no attempt to get away. The trainer said, well, when they were very young, much younger than they are now and smaller in size, we put the same size rope on them. And at that age, it was enough to hold them. But as they grew up, they are conditioned to believe they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals could break free any time, but because of their bonds, they believed they couldn't. They were stuck right where they were. Like the elephant, how many of us go through life hanging onto the belief that we cannot do something simply because we failed at it once before? Failure is part of learning. We should all never give up the struggle of life. And I guess that's the lesson learned that actually comes from that little story there. So today, we're actually going to talk a little bit about not giving up in life and to a very successful business leader and entrepreneur about getting over some hurdles, right? And trying something new. I think they're a serial entrepreneur and they've been very successful. I'd like you to welcome Sheila Danko to the show. And I think it was Dan Cho, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Dan Cho.
Dan Cho.
Yeah.
Dan Cho to the show. Sheila, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. First of all, Richard, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on CGOB today. I'm very excited to be here to share my story of success, trials, tribulations, and success.
Trials, tribulations, and success. It sounds to me like you've been thinking about that a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting. I often like to talk in terms of peaks, valleys, and detours. Mm-hmm. Or in the other one is the good, bad, and the unexpected, right, for business people.
Yes.
So I get that completely. I know you're excited to be here and everything and that. So why don't we start off a little bit of history about yourself, I guess personally and professionally. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, absolutely. A mother, first and foremost, I'm a mother of three beautiful daughters who now are 26, 24, and soon to be 19. I'm a wife, as well as I'm from a little country town of Beausejour, Manitoba.
Beausejour, Manitoba. Yeah.
I haven't moved very far away from my homestead, only 5 miles. And actually, my front yard, I could see the high school I went to. So I have some really deep roots in that little town.
In that community, and that.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Actually, you can see the high school that you went to. How many of us, as we get older, we tend to like to take off or move away from the small town that we grew up in, maybe to only come back later on in life, but we tend to go off and do something else.
Right. So, and it's interesting that the original homestead where I grew up was the original homestead back in the 1880s, where my family came over from Europe.
Oh, wow.
So we're fifth-generation farmers.
Yeah, so you're fifth-generation farmers.
Yeah. So how I would describe myself otherwise would be a true entrepreneur. Currently, I have three different businesses. But before I even got to the stage of being in business, like most parents tell their kids, go to school, get good grades, get a good education, and get a good job. So that's what I originally did. I was an excellent student, studied really hard, had a great job in the computer industry, had a great career. I was working for the second largest computer company of the world in the 1980s, Digital Equipment. And I really poured my heart and soul into my career. And then what happened is I got married and I had two little beautiful little girls. And I was traveling all the time, living out of a suitcase. And at the age of 32, Richard, I hit the brick wall.
You burnt out. Yeah. I understand a little bit about being burnt out too. So maybe we can share that story. But when you say you hit the brick wall, you're burnt out, what do you mean by that?
Well, I was exhausted. After my second child was born, I was exhausted for 2 years. I was just constantly fatigued. I'd go to the doctor and say, something's not right. What's wrong with me? They do some blood work. There's nothing wrong with you. Just get some sleep. But it was beyond just being tired. It was exhaustion. And then Monday morning, I just came back from another business trip. I dropped my little girls off at daycare. And I mean, I just hated dropping them off at daycare. It just would break my heart. And I drove to Winnipeg. I got to my job and I just wasn't feeling well. And I started getting some chest pains.
Oh,
and
wow.
And they just increased. And I thought, you know, oh, I just need to relax. So after some deep breathing and, you know, time, the chest pains intensified. So then I thought, oh my God, maybe at 32 years old, I'm having a heart attack. So what do you think I did at that point?
Well, the first thing I'm thinking is I would panic. But
I did. Yeah. I panicked. So, yeah. I hopped in the car and I drove myself to the Health Science Center emergency.
Yeah.
And luckily, there wasn't a six-hour wait. They took me in right away. And make a long story short, the good news is I wasn't having a heart attack. Then they thought it was a blood embolism in my lungs, and it wasn't that. And really what it was just from burnout. It was just exhaustion.
Fatigue. Absolute fatigue.
Fatigued and anxiety. And so they told me to go home and have a vacation.
Now, when you say anxiety and that, was it more or less a panic attack?
I think so. Back then, now I'm dating myself age.
That's okay. We're going to share a little bit.
But back then, they really didn't talk much about anxiety attacks.
No.
But that's really, looking back at it, that's what it was. And there was no real diagnosis other than just go take some time off. So I did, and that didn't help. The anxiety continued for quite a long time after until I had a phone call from a complete stranger who really changed my life.
Oh, okay. So taking time off didn't help. We'll start there first.
Right.
How much time did you take off?
A 3-week vacation.
Okay. Because taking time off could be 6 months, but about 3 weeks is a shorter period of time.
Right. Well, at the time I was managing a multi-million dollar conversion project, so there wasn't a lot of time to take off.
Yeah.
So that was even a luxury, but that didn't help. It was, something needed to be done. And really, that was the turning point. It was like a wake-up call for me. And I realized at 32, if I'm burning out from the IT industry, there had to be a better way.
The IT industry, and I know a lot of our listeners can relate to this too, is an extremely hectic industry. I mean, it just changes so rapidly that it does require a lot from you.
A lot of late evenings, weekends, it wouldn't be unusual to ask the team to pull all-nighters because it'd be deadlines. And then traveling all the time. I was living out of a suitcase. I worked on projects in Calgary, Vancouver, Regina, Saskatoon, Edmonton, all over Western Canada.
You know what? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Sheila, we'll talk a bit about being a road warrior and that important phone call that you received that changed your life.
Okay.
This is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. It's Richard Lennon. And I'm hanging out with my new best friend, Sheila. You like that, eh?
I like that.
I always make new best friends on this show. I often say that. Best friends forever, whatever the letters are. I probably shouldn't even quote that kind of stuff. I'm just not that in. But just before the break, we were talking about being a road warrior what the impact is on your life. And this is something you and I share in common, actually, because during the break, and as for our listeners, we were talking about the technology industry and how I also spent a whole bunch of time on the road, too. Tell us a little bit more about your time on the road, I guess, and so some of the experiences that you're having in terms of that.
Okay. And when I was in my 20s, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, sure. It is, isn't it? Hotels,
like, wow,
new cities.
Yeah. I could, I had an expense account and they paid for everything. And I flew to all sorts of locations to work, also training locations all over the U.S. So I was able to see everything from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco. And so it was exciting.
Isn't it amazing?
New,
amazing. And I used to love, I have to share this with you because during the break we were talking about this, but one of the things I used to love was I felt so important, right? And I know it's a false sense of importance now in retrospect, but I'd get picked up sometimes by a driver. I'd stay in a nice hotel. I'd see places like San Francisco and the Bay Area. And I'd spend a few days there. It's really quite the experience.
Talk about importance. One time I went to Boston. That's where the head office was in that area. And we had we were escorting one of our customers, and we were touring them around some of the plants. And so we had a helicopter. So that was the only time I actually had a helicopter ride. And of course, feeling important, right?
Yeah.
So in my 20s, it was great. But then my life changed when I married, and I had these two beautiful little girls at the time. And, then being away from them wasn't so glamorous.
No, it's not as fun as when your kids are a certain age and everything, and suddenly you're just realizing you're missing
missing their life, missing their lives. You know, and having a babysitter or a daycare look after them and having them see their first steps and having them, you know, see those first that I was missing. And that was, I think, the real struggle as a working mom to have want the career, but also want to be a full-time mom.
Yeah, and how so do you balance that out?
So this is where the struggles and the internal conflict started.
Okay, so struggles, internal conflict. So I'm going to write that down because I definitely would like to come back to that. But you said something in the first segment that I thought was very interesting. You took like 3 weeks off, but then you received the phone call. And I'm not too sure if you received the phone call during that 3 weeks or was it after that. So let's go back to the phone call. Who phoned you up and changed your life?
Well, it was a complete stranger. His name was John Cunningham. I didn't know him at all, but we had a mutual friend. One of the women I worked with, Dana Cochran, she used to sell computers, digital equipment computers to MTS. And he used to be a middle manager at MTS, and he knew Dana. So he got started in this brand new home-based business, and he approached her, and she said, I'm not interested. Those things don't last, but I do know someone who might be interested.
Okay.
And so she just dialed up my name and number on her cell phone and gave him the phone and said, here, talk to her.
Right now.
Right now.
She needs something new to do.
So I received this phone call, and he was telling me about a new business that was coming to Winnipeg, and I wasn't so interested in the new business, but he did say there was something about health products that piqued my interest.
Okay.
And I was in search of something to help me with my health. So I met with him and his wife, and they shared the information about the business and the products. And I was very, very impressed with the quality of the products. They were in the nutritional area and that they were pharmaceutical grade. And so I had already believed in nutritional supplementation, you know, vitamins. I had always taken like a Flintstones or a One-A-Day or a Centrum. But for the workload and the pressure I was working under, it wasn't providing me with what I needed. And after they explained the philosophy of their company, I was really impressed with the products. So I thought, well, why not try them?
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's just like anything else. I think whether it's a piece of clothing or an automobile you want to buy or anything, maybe I shouldn't say piece of clothing, an automobile, but people do buy clothes and try them and then bring them back. But you're going to make sure it works for you, right?
Yeah. So I got started on the products for my health. And while I was very pleasantly surprised, in about a month and a half, I started seeing some substantial changes in my energy levels. Remember, I had mentioned I was really, really fatigued. So I went from fatigued to tired to energetic. So I was able to, on a Friday night, come home and still have enough energy to be with the kids and do something with my family.
Now, were you still working at this point in time?
Oh,
like
your
regular job?
Yeah,
when
I had
when
my
I say
full-time
working.
Career, and still traveling, still full workload, still trying to manage and balance everything. Absolutely.
Okay. So at some point in time, you made the difficult decision to leave your career. Is that a fair way to state it?
2.5 years later.
2.5 years. Okay. So that's what I was looking for.
So what happened was I started feeling so much better. I thought, wow, there's something really to these products. And that's when I started thinking, well, who else can I help? And my mother, who suffers from lupus, she was diagnosed in 1978 around the age of 40. And I looked at my life and I thought, I'm on the same path of having a degenerative disease if I wasn't going to change my lifestyle. So that's why I started on these products, started feeling a lot better, did some research into the company, was very impressed with the founder of the company, who's a true scientist, whose vision is really to help the world free from pain and suffering. And I really bought into Dr. Wentz's vision. And at that point, I thought, well, who do I want to help? So I started with, who do I want to help? Well, I want to help my mother. So she was the first person I wanted to introduce these products because she had taken a whole she was taking about 20-some bottles of a variety of health
meds
food supplements.
And
so I thought, you know, if I can help her. So I went down there, Richard, with, you remember the VHS tapes. Now we're
VHS tapes. I can go back further than that and talk about the reels of tapes, but go ahead.
So I said, I don't know if you're interested in this, Mom, but let's watch this VHS and this video. And after we watched it, you know, she was quite impressed with the quality. So she turned to me and said, okay, get me started. And so that was the first person I introduced it to. And she had tremendous success on the products with her health.
Okay. So really was coming from a point of view that you found benefit and you wanted to share that benefit with other people.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Who else to start with but your mom?
Yeah,
somebody who's going to support you and be close to also.
Yeah.
I think it's really great that we continue this conversation because I want to find out a little bit about the businesses that you've been involved in, how they've been structured, and what brought you down this path a little bit further. This is Richard Landford, Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan, and I'm hanging out with a serial entrepreneur, Sheila Dancho. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Dancho, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were talking about this during the break, and it's interesting how your name is pronounced differently by different people, right?
Yes.
You know, and so it's always, I get the same thing even on my last name. I get people calling me Lannan, and then they look at me. They do all sorts of weird things, so I always like the double check. I'm fascinated how you took something out of your life, right? Mm-hmm. A challenge that you were having,
yes.
Found something that worked for you, and then asked yourself an important question of how can I help others, right? So very much a servitude type question,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when we're during the break, you and I were chatting a little bit more about the type of business you're involved in, and it seems like it falls into a certain category of business. So what category of business does your work fall into?
Okay. Well, I guess my entrepreneurial philosophy is I look for streams of income to create residual income. So even before I hit this sort of burnout stage, both my husband and I both agreed, because we're both from a farming background and we were raised in a very different environment. Our parents were always home. They worked hard, but they were always there for us. That now we are both working on a career and both away from our family. And it was like, this isn't really what we want for our family. So we were looking for ways to earn income that would allow us to be at home, raise our family. And so one of the things we started investing in earlier in our 20s were residential rental properties.
Okay.
And that was inspired by my great grandparents. When they retired from farming, they started investing in residential rentals in Winnipeg. So I remember my grandmother, who was in her 80s, having, you know, people, you know, she was re-renting out rooms and she had her places. And so I think as a young child, that really made it imprinted on my memory. So we started investing in residential rentals, and it's, you know, a great source of income, but you need a lot of capital
to be in residential.
Lots of capital.
You do, even starting out, right?
Yeah, so we have, you know, we had hundreds of thousands of dollars invested, and it wasn't working fast enough to create the residual income so that we could walk away from our careers. So when I was introduced to the USANA products and started recommending them to others, an income started coming in. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. This was easy. So then I really looked at the business model. And this is the business model of network marketing. And I was really impressed with the business model and how I don't have to have a brick and mortar facility. I don't have to inventory any products. The products are shipped direct. People pay direct. I really saw on a very part-time basis, I could actually create a residual income.
Okay.
But unfortunately, a lot of people prejudge what network marketing is.
I know, and that's one of the questions I want to ask you about, because you know what? I'm a little guilty of it too. On the one hand, I love residual income. I'm like, the idea of actually having money come to me and I don't have to do anything really additional for that money is great. You know, and I'll share, you know, that I'm an author and I've written books and everything. And every time somebody buys a book, I actually get a check.
Beautiful, right? Because you put the work in, now you're creating the residuals.
But it took me 2 years to write the book, right? But so it was a lot of work. But so I like the idea of that. But I think I also maybe share with some of our listeners the idea of network marketing. You know, they remember the late 70s, mm-hmm. some of the things that happened, and people were going to get rich on a certain product and it never happened, you know.
Right.
So how do you get over that challenge? But I guess first question is, what is network marketing? And how do you get over the challenge of the idea that around network marketing and what people might think?
Okay. And all great questions.
Yeah.
Took me
a while to get there.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what network marketing is, it's a different business model than a traditional model. And I think now of all times, everybody buys direct.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody, but most people have purchased something online direct.
Oh, you don't literally have to go out of your house to shop anymore if you don't want to.
So just think of this as a direct selling model that people are buying directly from the company that cutting out the wholesaler. But instead of paying for advertising, which is very expensive, they pay us, the distributor, for the advertising. So that's where the money comes from. So unfortunately, people confuse illegal pyramids with legitimate network marketing companies.
Okay, maybe that's where we need to make a distinction. Mm-hmm. So help me make that distinction for our listeners.
Well, you know, and you said in the 70s, I mean, I remember there were illegal pyramids floating around, and probably even still today. And what that means is more like a money laundering. You recruit people, they throw money in, and you recruit enough people, you get a payout. But there's no product of value being exchanged.
Okay.
legitimate network marketing actually has a legitimate product that you as a customer would purchase regardless if there was an income attached to it or not.
Okay.
So the products I represent are nutritional supplements. And I have, with my business, and I have like thousands of people in my business, half are customers and the other half are distributors, approximately. So there's people buying the products just for the value of the products.
Yeah, they enjoy it and everything. Yeah. They don't want to be involved in distributing,
right,
but they want to use the products. Just right. No different than going, and since we're talking about health supplements, no different than going down to your corner store and buying them right off the shelf.
Right.
They're consumers.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. In fact, I have some customers that have been in my business for 21 years buying their products every single month, month after month after month. And because they can't find the same quality and the same results from the stuff at the corner store. So that creates that residual income.
Okay.
See,
okay.
But the great thing, Richard, is I don't have to inventory the products. I don't have to deliver them. I don't collect the money. The company does 90% of the work for me. What I do is just the promotional, the promoting the value and, through social media, word of mouth, a lot of different ways.
And I guess that's the next question I was going to get into is for network marketing business, because I was looking on your website and you had a whole bunch of stuff listed there at one point. And I'm sorry, I can't quote it all,
okay,
because I'd be trying to remember a whole list. But I guess in terms of network marketing business, so you got this started, you used the products for 2.5 years. And obviously at some point in time, you made the decision to represent a set of products. What was like some of the things that you had to do to start to get that business going?
How to get the ball rolling?
Yeah, getting the ball rolling.
Well, this was
I think that's important for our listeners.
Yeah. And the great thing is you could do this part-time, and most people start at part-time.
Yeah.
It's a part-time business that can create a six-figure income. And so when I looked at it, that's why I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I could do this, but how am I going to? I'm already overworked. I have young children. How am I going to find 5 to 10 hours consistently a week to work at it? And so that's when I had, my husband and I sat together and he said, okay, well, I can help out more with the kids. And I started fitting and I started building this business. And what I mean by building, just recommending the products and the business plan to others in the nooks and crannies of my life while I had my full-time career and my two little girls. And then I had a third pregnancy. I had a third daughter.
Okay. So you fit it in.
Yeah, I fit it in. It's like a shoehorn. You have to just
fit it in.
I met people before work for breakfast meetings. I met them at lunch. I had to eat lunch. I could eat and talk at the same time. I met people for coffee after. And I allotted two nights a week to work at the business. So I worked my full-time career and part-time at my home-based business.
Okay. And was the intention at that point in time leaving your career? Like you were setting it up so that you could walk away from your career?
Well, at first it was just to earn some extra income.
Okay.
It's like, this is pretty easy. I could just talk to people and they buy it and I earn some extra income.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Who doesn't want a little bit of extra money, right?
So I wanted to take the kids to Disney World and I wanted to have some money to put in some RESPs and some smaller goals. But as I was achieving the smaller goals, my goals got bigger. My dream became bigger. And I thought, I said to my husband, I really think we can do this. And there was actually another episode that really triggered it. Like it was the final straw that convinced me that this was the direction. And it was a January one night. I was working on a proposal that I had to have at the customer site at Friday morning at 8:30. And Thursday night, it was raining and it's snowing, kind of like a day like today. And I ended up driving to work on black ice with snow on top of it. And I was 5 months pregnant. And it was not a good situation. It was pretty scary, actually.
It would be pretty scary. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have to take a short break.
Okay.
But when we come back, we'll pick up at Pretty Scary and find out what the outcome was for your story.
Okay.
This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Sheila, and Sheila is into the whole network marketing industry and business.
Yeah.
Just before the break, you gave us a cliffhanger. Mm. You were talking about you were driving along in your car. It was sort of an icy day. The roads were a bit slick and everything.
Yes.
Tell us what happened next.
I was 5.5 months pregnant. I was driving in from Bossier to Winnipeg. I was in a rush. I had a deadline for a customer. I had to deliver a proposal. I was driving down Highway 59, just coming over the Highway 59 bridge right by Spring Hill, and I started fishtailing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Easy to do in bad weather.
And it went from fishtailing to I ended up rolling my car.
Oh, wow.
Rolling my car sideways. So I just remember the car rolling, the window being smashed out, snow flying in my face, the car sliding on its hood, and I end up upside down. And that's when you know, I released the seatbelt. I got out of there and, you know, the ambulance came, they took me in and I mean, I was 5.5 months pregnant. They wouldn't let me out of the hospital.
Of course not.
Because they thought I might miscarriage. And I mean, the good news is I wasn't injured. It was like a miracle. There was no
injury,
no cuts, bruises, no whiplash. The baby was fine, but they wouldn't let me out of the hospital. And then when I called, by the time everything started settled down, it was around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I thought, oh no, I missed the deadline. So I called the customer and I said, I just rolled my car. I'm 5.5 months pregnant. They won't let me out of the hospital. It's Friday afternoon. Can I deliver the proposal Monday morning by 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
You know what they said?
Some would say yes and some would say no. What did they say?
They said too bad.
Too bad. Really?
Too bad. No excuses.
Really?
And I was devastated.
Wow.
Devastated.
Wow.
And that, Richard, was the turning point when I said, I'm going to do everything I can to get this home-based business to the point where it's earning me a six-figure income so I can walk away from my corporate job when this baby's going to be born.
Well, there you go. So there was something that actually gave you the motivation and stuff to do that.
That was the final push. And so what happened is when I had that baby, I was actually at that income level. I was earning more money with my part-time home-based USANA business than my full-time career in the IT industry. And that's when I walked away from my corporate job at the age of 35, and escaped the rat race.
And so you left it all behind after that.
All behind, yeah.
So what, you know, by the way, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Those are difficult decisions to make. But often, you know, I like to talk in terms of peaks, valleys, and detours. And we don't know when a detour in our life is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I believe something usually happens that creates a detour.
Yeah.
It's like we can often talk about the different doors we go through in our lives, right? And sort of like, you know, you open up another door and you don't know where it's going to lead you, but that's where you're going. But something got you to open that door. So what has it meant to your, I guess, life overall, sort of now pursuing the whole area of network marketing and using that as the business that you've gotten into?
Okay. Well, it's really been a dream come true for me because I was able to be at home, earn a fabulous income, and have the time freedom to raise my daughters. And so my husband retired the year later. So both of us in our 30s walked away from our corporate jobs to live a pretty sweet lifestyle. We have an island with a cottage on with sea-doos and a fishing boat, and we have a great time in there in the summer. We have another cottage where we also have some farmland that my husband's a white-tailed deer hunter, and we have quads, and we do a lot of ventures. So we spent a lot of time with the family, raising the kids and doing things. But the one downside, and we were mentioning this before, is I don't get any respect.
Yeah, I know. We were joking around about this. I think, yeah, no respect. The Roger Dangerfield moment, right? So what do you mean you don't get any respect? Because I'm sitting here going, I am just wowed by your story, because to meet you, you'd never know that this has been your life, right? You know, like, you know, you're not, I'm not going to call you flashy. And okay. I mean that in a very good way, right? So what do you mean you get no respect?
Well, because people prejudge network marketing and they don't think it's a legitimate way. A lot of times they think it's a get rich quick scheme. Now, it is get rich, but it's get work too.
Yeah.
It's network marketing. And it does take some work. You have flexibility when you can work, but it does take effort. So I believe people have the misconception. And because of that, they just don't realize the potential and understand the business model. We had mentioned before, they confuse it with maybe some not so great companies. And a lot of companies come and go. So the really important thing is to pick a solid company that you could build on that is respectful. And the company I'm with, I feel that really has the ethics and the honesty that I was looking for in a business to partner up with.
That's actually a good point, because there's all sorts of products that you can get into representing within the network marketing industry, is there not?
Oh, absolutely. Everything. And it's to pick a consumable product that is of excellent value that people will continue to purchase, that creates that residual. But it has to... One of the things, I'm writing a book, and one of the first chapters is how to pick a network marketing company.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because 80% of businesses don't make it past the first 5 years.
Yeah,
so how do you know
it's
going to be a good, solid company? Look at the founder, pick a company that's publicly traded.
Okay.
That makes a big difference.
Wow.
And you know they're absolutely legitimate. And the company I'm with, USANA, is publicly traded. So that sifts out a lot of companies. I'm writing a book on how to pick a good company. And then what you do, how do you build it?
How do you build it from there? So are there a few more tips that you can give us on how to build it? Maybe a couple of small ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, the book I'm writing, and you had mentioned you had written a book.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, you work for a long time, eventually a book comes out of it, I guess.
Right.
But anyway, so give us another tip.
So my website, sheiladancho.com is an excellent website. I'm writing a blog, a regular blog. I do written blogs, video blogs, and there's lots of tips on how to be successful in life, how to have the right mindset, and how to build a network marketing business, you know, prospecting techniques, listening techniques. And in fact, my blogs are basically the introductory to my book called Wealth Wears Stilettos.
Well, Wealth Wears Stilettos. Where did that title come from?
Well, I love wearing stilettos.
Okay, okay.
And it's, you know, you could be a wealthy woman, and that's part of my Facebook support site, Wealthy Women Network Marketing. And I really believe in empowering women to live the life they really want and pursue their dreams. And they can pursue their dreams even if they want to have a family. They could do it with their family. So my book will be basically a summary of the 9 steps to creating a network marketing empire.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that's exciting, actually. Now, when is that book coming out?
Probably next winter.
Because
as you know, I have it drafted, but it takes a lot of, you know, I want to make sure it's going to be great.
One of the things I don't think a lot of people realize when they write a book, and I meet people all the time saying, I want to write a book. The most valuable lesson I learned from writing a book was that it takes a community to write a book. And so if it is going to take you that about another year before it comes out, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an important piece to actually identify. I also know from looking at your website that you have a couple of programs that you do and everything, Live Wealthy and Free and Get Healthy and Sexy. That just made me smile right away. Can you tell us just briefly what those are?
Absolutely. And I really love helping. The Get Healthy and Sexy is really my health program where I teach people how to have a healthy lifestyle. And I particularly work with women who are sort of mid-age and who are working really hard, like, and raising a family, but are neglecting themselves. And they wake up one day, you know, overweight, not feeling well. It's classified as like rushing woman syndrome. So I really teach them how to have a healthy lifestyle with the side effect of weight loss. So we have lots and lots of success with that program. That's something I've developed on my own, the support with it. And we have a whole support structure to help people if they really want to become healthy and vibrant. Because as you know, I'm in my 50s and I'm feeling as energetic, I would say even more energetic and healthy than I was at 32.
Well, if I can say, you look great.
Thank you.
I mean that as a compliment. You know, we have to start to wrap up the show, and this has been great. You've given such great, valuable information. If you could leave our listeners with a final thought, what would it be?
I would say believe in your dreams and follow your dreams.
Believe in your dreams and follow your dreams. This is Richard Lanifer, set for success. Sheila, thank you for joining me. As for the listeners, thank you for tuning in. And if you have a thought or an idea, just send me a note at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Also, do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.